So the tiredness and the restlessness are all too common, but of course, and obviously, these experiences are found outside the meditation room as much as inside. But firstly, with method and technique. The mindfulness of breathing has a number of features to it. One is it's a very helpful and useful contribution towards calmness, relaxation, reduction of stress and pressure, and for greater harmony and well-being of our whole person. In the mindfulness of breathing, when we give attention to it, it is to experience the breath as well, as clearly as possible. In other words, when we're breathing in, we experience some expansion in the chest area, we breathe in, feel some upliftment, some expansion of cellular life breathing in. When we breathe out, there's some relaxation and some settling down of cellular life, of organic life. And it's just to be with the breathing experience. It doesn't matter if the breath is long or short, rough or smooth, gross or subtle, even or uneven or whatever. We're breathing in and we're aware that the breath is long. Let's be aware the breath is long. We're breathing in or breathing out and it's short, to be aware of it short. So we're just in touch with life, our life on this earth, inhaling and exhaling. The breath is a wonderful and an important resource in life for dealing with pressure, with crisis, with life-threatening situations, with pain. And meditators who have engaged in diligently in mindfulness of breathing have found it very, very helpful in remembering to breathe when there's pressure, problem, fear, anger, terror, or whatever. And that resource can come to us naturally for women and men who have engaged in the practice and the mindfulness of breathing. And it can save us, as I said, a lot from panic, from anxiety, from being swamped with thinking. So the mindfulness of the breathing, as I said, is a great aid and support. And if I may quote the Buddha for a moment, he said, of all the meditation practices, of all the methods which are available to humanity, he doesn't know of one which is so valuable, so calming, so insightful as mindfulness of breathing. And some of us would regard him as a meditation teacher par excellence. So when the mind wanders and drifts away, as it does with alarming frequency, to quietly but firmly bring the attention back to the breathing, to this moment, which is where our life is, nowhere else, it's right here, right now, and that's the thread and theme, because the here and now is the open doorway to liberation. It's the open doorway to realizing of a free and enlightened life, to calmness and insight and the heart's awakening. Here and now is the primary instrument for this. So we bring the mindfulness back to the breath as well and as clearly as we can. Sometimes, understandably, if one is mindful and alert to two consecutive breaths, regard it as big a miracle as any of the prophets performed. That sometimes on the first day, in coming into the situation, it's hard enough to find one's nose, let alone one's breath. So we turn the attention as we can to breathing in and breathing out, and just learning to be at home with our being. In that, sometimes when people come, and there's the wish and the interest to be with the breath, but it's experiencing the breath which counts, the experience of the breath. Sometimes people easily get a little confused and make the breath so strong or so intense, it's not experiencing the breath so much, but it's listening to the breath. And it's probable that if you can listen to your breath, then so can your near neighbors. And they may not find it quite so thrilling and exciting. So in the mindfulness of breathing, so experiencing as well and as directly as possible. Sometimes some people have, of course, some congestion in the nose and things like that. Then, if necessary, then breathe in through the mouth. But main thing is, know you're breathing, know you're living, feel the life. And returning to that with regularity. Tiredness can come, of course. That tiredness may be due to many, many factors. Sometimes traveling distance to arrive here, for some just the pressures and strains of working life, parenting life, money life, study life, recovering life, or whatever it might be. And so it's not at all unusual for a person to come to meditation hall keen for awakening and find it's actually sleepening instead. So again, in that, there are a few small things that we can do when we feel tiredness. We can, as Charles mentioned yesterday evening, keep the eyes open for a while. Sometimes we can just put our hands on top of the head, opens the cells up a little bit, gets a little bit of extra energy. We can, as we also did last night, just move the hand through the air and up and down, moment to moment, all ways of keeping conscious, keeping alert, keeping present. Sometimes, for all of us, and I include myself, one's tired, period, and there's some relaxation in mind and body, but the relaxation drops to a level of sleep. So enjoy. And the meditation hall can be as good a place as any for that, but it does happen that sometimes people are advertising to everybody, that they're asleep. So if somebody who is sitting close by could engage in what we call in peace movement NVDA, a little gentle non-violent direct action, and just perhaps touch the person on the shoulder, on the knee, to bring them back to existence. So sometimes say tiredness comes, and if we're advertising it, then I'll certainly make sure that the microphone is further from me and with the sitting. Boredom also can come. Again, there might be some mental tiredness, some doubt arising, and one feels, oh, this is heavy, this is difficult, I'm not getting anything out of it, I've been here 2 hours and I'm not liberated. And these kind of thoughts can be arising during the period, and some boredom comes. Takes a little while when you think of how much time and attention we direct to outer life, people, media, news, travelling, all those things, and in comparison how much little real attention we give to our inner life, and we are with ourselves, and until death do us part. And the inner life is the vehicle through which we look at the outer life, and yet there is so little real inner development opportunities in our culture because of the strong force on the outer circumstances of existence. So wherever we go, mind and body go with us. This is a fact of our existence. So in that we say mindfulness of breathing, being patient with ourselves, being in touch with the breath as much as possible, and working with some of those waves of tiredness which come. With the tiredness, it has what is often referred to in the Dharma tradition, it's close companions. Close companions of tiredness is carelessness. A close companion of carelessness is suffering for oneself or others or both. So if we ignore tiredness, it can be a real cost. And there are far too many people who are a casualty of stress, a casualty of overwork, a casualty of too much excessive use of mind and body in their life, and the body then begins to break down, mind begins to not be able to hold up, and anxiety attacks, phobias, addictions, problems in the inner life occurring through misuse of the mind. And it takes some skill and practice to know ourselves well, to be really truly at home with our being, and to know what's wise and what's unskillful for us. All of this, you and I in our days here together, can explore well and effectively and clearly for the welfare of ourselves and indirectly for others. If we're happy, bright, clear, focused, with wisdom and insight, obviously it benefits others. And if we're anxious and selfish and greedy and aggressive, fearful, of course that also equally has impact on others as well. With the mindfulness of breathing, as I mentioned to you, the restlessness can come as well. And it's not easy. If our life is very active and busy, we'll say, restlessness can come, then we'll say, well, the sitting posture is a big contrast to normal everyday life. And therefore, in that it's a lot to ask of ourselves. But one does have to be, as I say, rather patient with ourselves, and particularly with the restlessness. In life, in learning to watch our mind, which is a key feature here, of course, when we experience restlessness, when we grasp onto it and identify with it, it tends to generate waves of self-doubt. And we go from maybe some pain in the body, then we go to the experience of restlessness in the mind, and then we go to doubt. Doubt in ourselves, doubt in a situation, or whatever. And the five-worded mantra starts to appear in the mind: what am I doing here? And anywhere else in the world would seem preferable, Tel Aviv, the West Bank, anywhere, but in here. And so, as I say, sometimes the waves of restlessness begin to arise, create some doubt in the mind, and one wants to flee, not from here, to just the walls, just space, a lot of silence there, fleeing from the discomfort in the mind. And fleeing is no resolution. Minds will go with us. So, let's say in the sitting, watching that movement, sometimes from pain to restlessness to doubt, and learning to track that well and carefully, can we stay steady in spite of it? When the pain arises in the body, some of you will need to be extra respectful to your sitting posture, whether you're in the chair or on the floor. And I would just like to just mention to try to dissolve one common mythology. The common mythology, in the West, in the Near East, or whatever, we're not used to sitting on the floor. That's what they do in the Far East. They sat in their villages on the floor. They sat in their monasteries. They sat in their temples. It's unnatural for us. This is mythology. If I may say, teaching every year in India, years in the East, you hear just as much about knee pains, sore ankles, lower back, tension in the shoulders or whatever, and they could have spent 3 meals a day sitting in their villages, on the floor, eating their meals, sitting around every evening through their entire youth and adulthood, and as soon as they start sitting to meditate, it's the same noise in the mind, oh my knees, oh my back, whatever. It's got nothing to do with contrast of living styles. So whether, let's say, you sit in the floor, or sit on the chair, or whatever, this is simple personal choice. With the sitting, if you have some history of back or knee problems, surgery, pain or whatever, do take extra care with yourself. Be generous if you need to move. This is not an endurance test. You won't get any certificates next Monday morning at your ability to be still or whatever. So in that, some people use the wall as a support, but or the back of the chair, fine, but if it's a general principle, please, if you know you've got no history of back problems or whatever, then if one could avoid developing this intimate relationship with the wall and towards oneself. But if one needs the support of the wall for all good reasons, then or the back of the chair, of course, use it. Use it. Sometimes it's age, sometimes pregnancy, sometimes just some weak back muscles or whatever it might be. Mostly speaking, the back will strengthen itself quite a lot. And one will feel the alertness and the aliveness running through the posture. If with the knees you have a lot of discomfort with the pain in the knees, there are a number of small things which you can do, and they sometimes include a little bending and stretching exercises before coming into the meditation hall. Sometimes person puts a bit of support under the knees to give a little extra ease, and usually if the back side is raised a little bit higher and the knees are a little bit lower, you just saw Daniel giving me very sweetly an extra cushion, it helps the flow through the knees a little bit more easily. And some of us, and I'm at the moment one of those who have a mild stretching of the ligament in the knee and benefiting from the extra cushion. I should add very, very quickly here, it is not from sitting meditation, it is from running. So in that, if you have anything similar with that, as I say, extra towel under there, a bit of extra height, will just help to give your knees a bit of extra support. All of it is part of the process of settling into mindfulness of breathing, care and attention to it, air coming through the nose or mouth if necessary, down into the lungs, feeling the in-breathing, feeling the out-breath rather silently, taking note of the tiredness which comes, taking note of restlessness and pain which comes, which are two of the common features there. In the Zen tradition of Zen brothers and sisters, very wisely have learned to made these strong meditation cushions, and Charles yesterday showed me the latest enterprising portable version of the Zappo, that's the meditation cushion, which is a blow-up one, can you imagine? And so one can travel it around the world with it without utterly confusing the mind of immigration officers about what's inside it. And so since we hear it's such an enterprising culture here, that you might think about it, one of you. And just to give firmness to the backside and good strong meditation cushions, a number of you use them already, just help a lot with posture and uprightness. This morning, really an apology on my part, when Charles came to the sit at 7:45, because he has only been here 2 days and still hasn't learned to read Hebrew yet, he thought that the sitting ended at 8:30. And sort of 8:15, so one had a little emigration out of here beforehand. I should have mentioned with regards to the time. What we do in other places, again, for the welfare, protection, and peace of mind of those who are near the door, is I will ask the bell ringer to be the last one in. And so what we have done, what we do elsewhere, is the bell ringer comes in last, which is pretty well exactly 5 minutes after the sitting begins. Then a chair is placed outside the door there, and it's to tell others, sorry, shop's closed, you're too late, and you'll have to go and sit in a chair elsewhere. And so then it's a little bit easier for people who are sitting by. They'll know 5 minutes after the sit starts, it's all stillness in here. And our request is, as well of course, is please stay through to the end of the sitting. And that might mean, of course, you have to stretch your legs out a little bit and just have a little bit more comfort and out of compassion for others to be respectful to the silence and the stillness. All of this, the appreciation for all these do's and don'ts, in fact, will increase as the days of the retreat go by. So I've covered just generally with regard to the sitting and the meditation hall. If you and I have some sitting meditation together for about 15 to 20 minutes, and then at the end of that I'll speak to you about the walking meditation and the standing meditation. Thank you. like to speak for a few minutes about the walking and standing meditation time. These are engaged in individually. For some, there's the preference to find the same locality each time for the walking meditation. And the spirituality of this is very much in terms of our willingness for presence, receptivity, a deepening sense of connection, authentic experience of love of the earth and connection with the land, and thus moving out of metaphysics and out of belief systems to first-hand, moment-to-moment, down-to-earth experience for which there's just no substitute. And that shows and reveals itself in the walking meditation by slowing down the speed of walking and walking as a mindful and conscious human being on the earth, feeling the contact of each foot as it touches the ground, really connecting with the land, connecting with the earth. This is where we live, this is where we have our home on this earth. And in slowing down, the heel of one foot may hardly be in front of the toes of the other. And you feel the touch of that, the sensations of that, the contact of each foot as it meets the ground. Again, as with the sitting, we know mind wanders and drifts away, we can get lost in memories, caught up in planning, personal storylines, daydreams and fantasies, etc. And letting go of all of that and placing conscious presence on what's happening here and now. And in that, it might be when you're walking, if you do feel a lot of drifting and going on in the mind, stopping just for a moment or two, recollecting the immediacy of life and beginning and renewing the walking again. Obviously, so often in daily life, walking is just a kind of instrument to get to somewhere else. It's just about destination, or about thinking about where we just come from. But here we're interested in the process of walking, as though some of you will know, perhaps being in hospital after injuries or operation or whatever, and then one starts walking, and there's a genuine appreciation, gratitude, just to walk, just to have the chance to walk again. And it's in that kind of spirit and light which we wish to bring to walking. So, as I say, maybe outside and where the shade is, or indoors, or in your room, or whatever. And it's a quiet discipline just to engage in the walking for the entire period of the time, often around 45 minutes. So okay, let me just commit myself to walking up and down so that mind and body really are working together in harmony, not as a theory, not as a good idea, but actually being cultivated and developed through personal experience. Okay. With the standing meditation, periods, of which there are one a day, and sometimes people like to do more, can be either in here or elsewhere. And again, it's standing on the earth, feeling the contact, the vibrations, the sensations of the contact of the feet with the ground or with the floor. And with the standing meditation, to feel the presence of the body, or trunk of the body being quite still, arms and hands can just be in front of one, perhaps on one's abdomen, wherever. And just learning to stand for the earth, stand in the here and now, standing for peace, standing for presence, and with the standing, it takes some time because some discomfort that can arise in the ankle or lower back or knees or whatever, a little while, but with some practice, one can stand half hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours without foot moving, as some of us know and have done. And key word here, of course, is the practice, 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 practice standing on this earth, being on this earth, practice walking on this earth, sitting on this earth, and see what shows itself inwardly. Times when we come to an end of a sitting period, end of a standing or walking period, it can be useful just for a moment to stop. Short, brief reflection. What was going on with me during that period of time? What was the sense of quality of presence, of being right here and now with life? There wasn't much in the here and now. What was going on? Was I indulging in memories? Was I out to lunch on a fantasy? Was I speculating about my next life? Or you believe in those sort of things? Or whatever it might be. So anything, mind can move there and sometimes move very far from where we really are. And human beings pay a heavy price for moving away from where we really are. So, checking in with ourselves for a moment or two at the end of a sitting, end of a walking, end of a standing, just that we're keeping in touch and as clear and connected with ourselves as much as possible. Later on in the end of the morning, by the end of the morning, we will have sorted out the small groups, times and locations for them. So at the end of the morning, do please remember to look on the notice board and check to see that. And quite a few of you will be seeing today and others tomorrow, and they'll be starting in their walking, standing periods during the course of the afternoon. Final thing I just want to mention was came with the bell ringer to give 7-8 minutes or whatever before the sitting starts, the bell ring, and then 5 minutes after the sitting begin, leave the chair outside, the way outside the door, so that others who, whatever, may come a bit late or whatever, maybe perhaps sit in the other room there or whatever. Sometimes, or teachers, because of small groups and one-to-ones, they do go on a little bit longer. And sometimes, if we are a few moments late, after the 5 minutes, then compassion. But we're obviously, we'll endeavor to always be here as punctually as everybody else. But occasionally, we don't want to break the small group or the one-to-one, and we just are a little late. But the things will be covered by one of us through the day. So that covers everything I wish to say at this time. First, 45-minute walking meditation now, and then another sitting, 4 o'clock sitting this afternoon. Charles will give a guided breath meditation, and they serve as a good reminder with regard to keeping focused and steady. Thank you, buddy.